Hey girl, welcome to Purposefully Planted Podcast, hosted by Purposefully Tasha, where I share my story of how I am purposefully planted in the soil of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's topic. Holla back. Hey, it's Tasha. Welcome back to another episode of Purposefully Planted. And during this episode, we're going to talk about our narrative and the importance of it. And you guys know how I do. I just jump right on in. So let's talk about our narrative. I like to think of my narrative, my divine narrative, as a way of presenting my situation and understanding everything that happened for me in a way that reflects and promotes a Christ-like point of view. And as I shared in the previous episode about identity, and I, you know, shared parts and pieces of my testimony, I'm sure you guys can tell by that testimony that I have been through a plethora, I like to say plethora, of things, of situations, of circumstances. And to this day, I'm still going through some of those things. I still do not know who my father is. He still does not know he has a father. I mean, a daughter in me. My mother is still, to this day, right now, sitting in a state psychiatric facility. And calls me often to tell me about her hallucinations and delusions. And sometimes she still has a lot of scary health issues. I remember, I believe it was the beginning of 2000, was it 19? 2000? I believe it was the beginning of 2019. She was losing 1/3 of the blood in her body due to fibroids and received 2 blood transfusions in the matter of 3 months, y'all. So when I just want to preface it with that, because I don't want to speak from the point of I'm not experiencing these things or my life is, you know, like it's just pristine, because I'm experiencing things and they are happening to me as well. But I choose to choose the narrative that God wrote for me through Jesus Christ. I choose to, you know, not grieve the Holy Spirit and truly abide in the Holy Spirit and make my temple, my body, a place where the Holy Spirit would choose to dwell. I know that the Holy Spirit lives with me, but I also want to present my body in a way that if the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit was just to show people, like, oh, I'm trying to dwell in her. And that also, one way in which you can present your temple, your body, as, you know, as a place where the Holy Spirit would choose to dwell, is understanding your narrative. It's just like this. When you go to the library and you see all these books, each of them has a different narrative, right? I don't care if it's a cookbook or it's a romance novel or if it's a comic book. Or whom have you, right? Spell book, whatever it is. My narrative is going to be a Christ-like genre, right? A Christ-minded genre. And you can sometimes see the type of people that flock towards different genres of novels, of narratives, right? And I would want people that flock to my narrative to need to be divinely inspired and the need to be and the desire to seek holiness and righteousness, to be set apart. And when I share my narrative, that's the viewpoint of which I share it from. One that is set apart. It's not like the others. Girl, my book will be on the shelf by itself. Okay? Right next to the Bible. Okay? Like, set apart. Sacred. That's the genre of my narrative in which I see it, in which I write it. So with that being said, when you're sharing your narrative, I don't want you to ever think, by no means do I believe that God wanted or intended these things to happen to me. I don't believe he wanted my mom to have a mental illness. I don't believe that he wanted anyone to be, you know, sexually assaulted. I don't believe he wanted anyone to be murdering anyone else. But the truth of the matter is that we live in a fallen world, and we live in a place where people have free will. And because of our interconnectedness, you know, what one person does affects every single person, just like what one person did on the cross affects every single one of us. So I understand that. And I just wanted to, you know, again, preface it with that. And establish the fact that even though every one of us has free will, and even though every decision everyone makes kind of has a domino effect on all of us, it is miraculous and supernatural how God can still get the glory out of such a confusing and dysfunctional world. And that's kind of the energy of how I share my story and my lenses at this point. And I also want you to know to just share your story from where you are right now, from your understanding of the gospel right now. Don't wait until you feel like you know everything and, you know, you have it all perfectly said and so forth and so on, because someone needs your story the way that you understand it and the way that you're feeling and the way that you're presenting it right now. When God brings you from glory to the next glory, from when Holy Spirit opens your eyes up to another part of your life that he illuminates for you to see how God was there for you, then, you know, you can present it in a different way. But for right now, I need you just to go and share your story. It is so important. I remember like yesterday when my sorority, Alpha and Omega Sorority Incorporated, we were at a church service. I think it was like Founders Weekend or something. And next thing you know, she's like, oh, I'm going to have some of the sisters share their testimonies. And she just calls me up. Wasn't ready. I didn't write it down. I didn't like talk about what parts I wanted to highlight. I was nervous. I was like, I don't know, 19, 20. I was just anxious, right? I wanted to sound good. I wanted to have a punchline, but I didn't have time. And at that, I didn't even have time. Like, I'm not gonna say I didn't have time to pray. I could have got the mic and prayed, but at that time, I promise you, God spoke to me. And every time since then that I've shared my story openly, people have been blessed. And I was at a different place in my life each and every time, but people were blessed. I remember when I was invited to the Child Welfare Conference in Mississippi, in which I took a 24, 26, 28 hour bus ride to Mississippi, Jackson, Mississippi, with my friend, one of my best friends, Janae. And I told my story at a child welfare conference because I went through the child welfare system, and social workers were there. Social work policymakers were there. And my story is going to help and change child welfare policy. And it's going to help and change how social workers, you know, deal with children one-on-one on the micro level and the macro level in child welfare. So I don't care where you start, how you start telling your story. It does not need to be perfect. The thing that needs to happen is that you need to start, and you need to understand and believe that your story is impactful, and you need to share your story, right? You need to reference it from your identity that we discussed in the last episode. In the last episode on identity, we discussed that we are chosen, that we are a royal priesthood, and we are God's possession. So again, when you're telling your story, when you're sharing your story, you want to remember your identity, those four things, and you want to share your story out of that framework, out of that point of view. And to give you a little flavor, or to let you see or hear what that sound, what attitude you should share that story, your story in, what gangsta you should share your narrative in, I want you to turn with me to 1 Samuel 17 verse 26. And this is a part of the story of David and Goliath, which is popular. If you haven't read it, you should definitely read it. Verse 26, it's just the part where, you know, David is bringing the food to the troops he was supposed to do. And he hears, you know, Goliath is speaking a little reckless. And he see all these men standing by while Goliath is speaking reckless about his God. And David, he turns to them and he's like, "Hey, yo, what shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Basically, David is like, hold up. You know, what honor would come to the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the shame and the guilt and the reproach? That's what reproach means, shame and guilt and like bad stain, bad reputation from Israel. And then he's like, for one, you know, what shall be done for the man that kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach for Israel? And for two, who is this uncircumcised Philistine, think he gonna come up in here and defy and talk down on the armies of the living God? Oh nah, we don't play that. That's the energy in which you need to share your narrative. And I say it like this, I'm being funny, y'all know I'm being funny, silly, but in all seriousness, that's how you should tell your story. Like, number one, what shall be done, what can be said about the God who sent his only begotten son to take away the reproach, the guilt, the shame, the condemnation from my life? And number two, who is this poverty? Who is this brokenness? Who is this rejection? Who is this fatherlessness, rejection, brokenness, insecurity, fear, pain, deceit. Who is this that it should defy, that it should talk down on the army of the living God? When you tell your story, you tell it from a place of honor, of valor, of just understanding that there is not one thing that can talk down on you. Poverty can't allow you to talk down on yourself, or allow anyone else to talk down on you. Goliath was sitting there talking down on them, and they were just taking it. And David's like, nah, oh no. And this was before Jesus had even come. But as you see, it's foreshadowing. When you read the Bible, especially like this, in this narrative form, you can see how it's showing, how it's pointing to the need. Not only the need of the Savior, but the coming of the Savior. And so when you share your story, you share it in the same way that it shows the need for the Savior and the coming, the second coming of Christ. So just remember that when you're sharing your story, okay? Because can't nothing that God has already taken away the reproach, the guilt, and the shame from. Yes, you may have had a child out of wedlock. You know, yes, you might have lied. Yes, you might have cheated. Yes, you may have, you know. But those things can no longer talk down on you, because in our case, unlike David, Jesus Christ has already went to the cross and his blood was shed to take away the reproach. So sis, when you tell your story about how you conquered, how you overcame, how you were free from the bondage of bulimia, how you overcame, how you were free from the bondage of poverty, how you are free from the bondage of the orphan spirit. Sis, you say that thing. You say that thing like it's a badge of honor, because it is. You don't let nobody talk down on you. And you correct them. You confront them. And when I say confront, I'm not talking about, you know, get smart and have all this, you know, animosity. But you just let them know. Yeah, you're right. I did deal with that. But now as I stand before you, it's gone. I'm healed. Okay? So I just want to give you a few pointers about when you're sharing your story. All right. So point number one. When you share your story, you're going to share from the point of view that you understand and believe that the situation that you are speaking of is a temporary occurrence in the history of your eternity with Christ. This does not give an excuse to ignore or rush the situation, but charges you to be present and experience it and look for and find nuggets in the situation that point to the specific gift of salvation, right? So like I said, when you're sharing your story, you want to, once you've experienced it and when you're going through it, experience it, but once you want to share it, you want to share it in a way that it shows the gift of salvation that you received, that it shows, you know, God, Christ, and the coming, and the necessity of him, and the coming, and of his coming, right? Number two, you want to share your story in a way that reflects the gospel, in the way that shows how Christ Jesus stepped in the gap for you with all power and authority under God. And so you want to how does that sound? So it sounds like, you know, when you're sharing your story of how, for me, let's say how, and everybody's not the same, but how, you know, my mom literally, during her psychotic episode, she literally, you know, had us in the house for 3 days and was literally going through this psychotic episode. And she would say she would have to kill us. The devil was coming. She would say different things that were very, very scary for my 11-year-old brain. And, wow, I'm thinking about it now, but God spared my life so many times in those 3 days. It's crazy. But you just show how he stepped in the gap for you. Well, in that situation, I'm rambling, but in that situation, you want to share how, you know, my mom threw my brother. He was barely 1 year old, and she went over there and, you know, was beating on him with a closed fist. That when we were helicopter flown to shock trauma, that they were examining him And they were in shock that they did not see any broken bones, any lacerations. While on me, I had a bruise and all she did was pull my arm. Or as far as fatherlessness, how I did not have a father, but yet, you know, I was always taken care of. And yet I'm still well-rounded and not have it from the point of, oh, this thing happened to me, you know, with the psychotic episode. So this is why I don't forgive. This is why I don't trust. This is why I don't like my mom. With fatherlessness, you know, I experienced fatherlessness. So this is why. It's not an excuse. You don't present it as excuse, but a reason. And it shows, you know, the glory and the gospel. So that's point number two. Okay, and so then number three is you want to present your narrative in a way that shows that you are dedicated and consecrated for the purposes of God. So you want to show how in this situation it shows that you are set apart, you know, for the work of God, basically to show, you know, your holiness through God, how through him, you know, he presents you holy. Because although you went through all of these things, look at you. You're still, you know, you still have breath in your lungs. You still have joy. You still have the evidence of the Holy Spirit, which is, you know, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, you still have the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. And so that's how you show how you are set apart and consecrated. And also you show that by talking about how, you know, you are living after it and what you are doing despite of. Okay, and then number four, the last thing is you want to understand and present your story in a way that shows that you do not belong to your situation or circumstances, injury or disease, but that you belong to God. So that's how you want to share your story. You don't want to share your story from the point of poverty. That you belong to poverty, that you belong to fatherlessness, that you belong to brokenness, or that you belong to rejection, but that you belong to God and God alone. And that's why it's so important in identity, in the identity podcast, that you understand that you have to separate your identity from your circumstance. Because you belong to God. You do not belong to poverty, rejection, brokenness. You don't owe those things anything, but you owe God everything. And that's how you're supposed to tell your story or share your narrative as a believer. And so with that said, in closing, I would just want to give you an example of how I would share my story from this point of view, from a divine point of view. I would say, you know, my name is Tasha. I was raised by my amazing mentally ill mother in government housing, living below the poverty line. I grew up not knowing my father, and still to this day, I do not know him, and he does not know that I am his daughter. And around December of 2002, my mom had a psychotic episode that radically changed my life forever. It was 3 days of my mom experiencing suicidal and homicidal ideation. My siblings and I were put in a life or death situation, or were living in a life or death situation during that time. My mom's psychotic episode ended where my brother, who was almost 1 year old, was being helicopter flown to Shock Trauma Children's National Hospital Center in DC. The doctors were super surprised. They asked me several times, you know, how did your mom hit him? Was it open palm or closed fist? And they kept asking me, and I kept telling them it was closed fists, but they were just shocked at the fact that my brother did not have any bruises, scratches, lacerations, nothing to show the trauma that had occurred to his body. Because I, after she just pulled me, had a bruised shoulder, and there was a bruise there to show it. And I know that for most people, after hearing this, this or experiencing this, this would take them out you know, whether it's mentally, emotionally, or spiritually, they would have a hard time, you know, living life after this. But for me, it was a turning point for me. I was tired of living life in bondage to fear, deceptions, insecurity, pain, poverty, rejection. I was tired of never being enough. I was tired of just not loving or liking myself. And it caused me to want to search for more of who I really was. I was tired of statistics telling me who and what I was going to be and, you know, feeling like I belonged to them. I was tired of broken relationships and of being ruled by my emotions. I wanted and I desired to live purposefully. So from that point on, I wouldn't say it was definitely, it was intentional, but it was definitely divine that I began the process of learning who I was and my purpose in the world. I went to college, and not only did I go to college, but because of the situation that I was in, it allotted me the money that I needed to be able to go to college for free until I was 26 years old. If it wasn't for that situation, I wouldn't have gotten into college, you know, for free. I didn't, because I didn't even apply. And then I went to college twice. And then I served in AmeriCorps, and it was an amazing experience. I got married and I started a family, and we live intentionally and purposefully consecrated for God. I wouldn't change what happened to me for anything, although it hurts and I'm still getting used to my relationship with my mom, who is still in a state psychiatric center. I know that all of the darkness that I experienced, that God was able to preserve me, develop me, and present me purposefully in his light, in his glory, and for his glory. And so that is how I would share my story in a way that shows itself chosen of a royal priesthood, holy in God's possession. That I'm chosen, that I didn't just go through this for a reason, but that, you know, I didn't just go through this for anything, but to show, you know, the gift that I have, the gift that I was given of salvation. And number two, to show my royal priesthood, because in a royal priesthood, that are mediators that step in the gap for people under the authority and poverty of the authority and power of God. And so I truly believe in my story that God stepped in the gap for me that several times, whether it was in the situation with the psychotic episode that we all lived gracefully, whether it was the situation where, you know, I didn't apply for college, but got into college for free. And not only that, I was amongst the top of my graduating class, or was with the fatherlessness, how I did not have a physical father, but God stepped in the gap for me and was my father throughout the whole entire thing, providing for me. That I am holy through Jesus Christ, set apart and consecrated for a special assignment, a special purpose for him and him alone, and that I'm God's possession, that I do not belong to my trauma. I do not belong to poverty. I do not belong to rejection, but I experienced it for a short amount of time to show who God is, to show the holiness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, to show him as the Savior. So yes, that is the way in which I charge you to share your story. I pray that you really enjoyed this episode and that it encouraged you to look at your life in a different way and to share your story in a different way. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to hearing from you all next week. Make sure that you tune in, or not tune in, go to my website, www.purposelytasha.com, and read my blog. And also make sure you sign up for my free 7-day challenge, where I help you to train your mind, to train not only your mind, but your mind, your body, your emotions, to really see purpose in your life and abide in God's purpose for you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Bye-bye.